Welcome to Tribe Talk, the bi-monthly podcast by Tribe of Women. I'm Amy Robinson, founder of Tribe of Women. During each episode, I'll be joined by members of my tribe as we hear from guest speakers and powerful women who connect to our mission to establish cultures of women supporting women and recognizing more good men. We will also tell stories of you, our listeners, working in your communities to support your tribes and to answer your questions about how to grow the Tribe of Women together. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get started.
Welcome. I'm Courtney Lawless, your co-host with Tribe of Women founder Amy Robinson. Hey, Amy.
Hey, Courtney.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for being here.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I feel like I am in a whole new world because I have a new level of brain cell function because summer is over and school started.
I know. I wish my brain cell was functioning. My brain cells were functioning as well as yours are. But well, I'll get there soon enough, right?
You'll recover eventually. Well, one of the things that summer reminds me about is how important but hard parenting is, especially when we feel like we're on all the time.
Agreed. And that's why I'm excited about our podcast guest today. Not only are we going to be talking about moms, which you and I are.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about single moms, which you and I have been.
We have.
And how they're supporting one another.
Yes. And this is a very special podcast, has a special place in my heart because I feel like my tribe is built up of single moms. When my grandfather died, my grandmother raised six children. When my father died, my mother raised us. I was a single mother of my daughter for a time after my divorce, and I lived with my aunt who was also divorced and raised her three children. And so there are so many reasons why women are single mothers and stigmas and struggles that follow suit. But what I know is it's all made easier and sometimes even enjoyable when we have our tribes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Given. So, shall we get started?
We will, after I remind our listeners that the Tribe Talk podcast is now on Patreon. And if this is your first time or you listen to us regularly, we ask that you show your support and help keep us producing, growing, changing, and getting better by giving whatever monthly amount you can. Even $1 a month could make a huge difference if each of our listeners contributed. Just go to the podcast tab on our website, tribeofwomen.com, and click the button that says Become a Patreon, and you're in.
Thank you for that, and I appreciate you mentioning our growth and changes. Some avid listeners may notice that we are working on our format and improvements, and this episode, we will not have a Tribe Stories or Tribe Tips segment because, based on our listeners' feedback, and you, Courtney, you would like to see us launch those as mini-segments. So stay tuned because those will be coming out very soon.
Yes, I like snacks, and that sounds very snackable.
Yes, everybody has a different commute time, right?
And that means we can completely dedicate our full episodes to our interview guests. Speaking of which...
Yes. Today we have Dr. Marika Lindholm, founder of the community Empowering Solo Moms Everywhere. Marika is a sociologist, and Esme is a website and social platform reaching a community of 50,000 solo moms and aims to redefine single motherhood by providing resources, inspiration, and a point of connection for the undeserved community of solo moms. And this community recently launched chat rooms to host specific tribes for social moms, which, of course, we love and are excited to hear about. Welcome to Tribe Talk, Marika.
Thanks for having me.
We're excited. Well, as I mentioned in our introduction a moment ago, that I was a single mom for a while. And so was Courtney for a moment. And I was also raised by a single mom who was raised by a single mom. My father and grandfather passed away. And my single motherhood was the result of a divorce. But it happens in a multitude of ways and for a multitude of reasons. And as I was introducing you, it stood out to me that while single mom is a common term, you have chosen the title of your organization as Solo Mom. So I bet there's a story behind that. And
yes.
We would love for you to tell us about that and also just your story, why you were compelled to start this online community and how it came to be.
Great. Well, let me start with my story because it feeds into why I chose the term solo mom. I had a 3 and a 5-year-old and I was teaching at Northwestern University. And as a sociologist, I taught quite a bit about what happens when you become widowed and divorced and how your economic reality is severely challenged, and discussed a lot about how single moms are in poverty. And it wasn't until I got divorced myself that it hit me really hard that, you know, sure, analytically, I could talk about these issues, but it was so much harder than I ever expected when I myself got divorced. And, you know, I've always been a person who wants to make change and do good in the world. And that was why I became a sociologist. And I was so alienated and lonely, and it was such a hard time that I made a little bit of a secret vow that if I ever had the opportunity to make it easier for other moms, that I was going to do that. And obviously, as a single mom myself and struggling with, I took on extra courses and my kids were 3 and 5 and I wanted to make sure they were fine. But, you know, so I couldn't do it at that time. But now, flash forward 15 years, I have the opportunity to really try to do that and create this community. And so that's what I did. And I decided to use the term solo mom because as a sociologist, I know language is very important. And I had heard the term single mom used so pejoratively in the media and by politicians. And I thought there were a lot of stereotypes attached to it. And the other piece was that when I wanted to serve moms that were parenting on their own, they're not just single moms, you know, through abandonment or divorce, but they're solo because their partner's deployed, they're solo, their partner's incarcerated. There's just a whole host of moms that are raising kids on their own. Mm-hmm. Perhaps their partner lives, you know, it's hard to have jobs in the same community. Mm-hmm. So I realized that it was a bigger network that I wanted to bring together. So solo really works. And I've heard a lot of moms say, I really appreciate that term solo mom.
Yeah. And also solo by choice probably as well.
Yeah, we have a tribe called Solo Moms by Choice, for sure.
Right. That's great. Yeah. Well, of course, we are loving the mm-hmm. tribe term. And I think that just in a lot of what we've seen from Esme on Esme.com is the we have a lot in common. Let's put it that way. So we're really happy to have you here. So one of the things that is kind of part of our background as well, and kind of the epitome of one of the examples of where women have been divisive in the past is the mommy wars. And that's been a term in our culture for longer than we care to admit to. But what are some of the stereotypes that the solo moms are facing? Just like you were talking about, single moms kind of has its own stereotype. So what are the stereotypes that solo mothers are facing, and how are they manifesting into this mommy judging?
There are a host of pejorative stereotypes about single moms and solo moms. One is that they're lazy, they're morally lax, they don't work, which is completely untrue. The majority of solo moms actually are employed. They have lots and lots of children. That's totally false. Most single moms have one child. I can go on and on. There are a lot of ways that single moms have been maligned in the media and by mm-hmm. Politicians. So it just... that's something that, you know, I found painful when I was a single mom, but also I continue to, you know, feel that it's just completely unfair. And we do a lot of, on the site, we call them superheroes and all-stars, and we have our mm-hmm. Hall of Fame because this is so important. You know, it's just completely, the stereotypes are really painful for them. And it can, you know, create judgments which are harsh and unfair, judgments by community, judgments by teachers. You know, it's just so that's a big mission of mine, is to change those stereotypes, show all the great stuff they're doing, whether they're writers or artists or politicians, and, you know, and the great kids they're raising. We have a Hall of Fame that shows all the, you know, wonderful sons and daughters of solo moms, because there's stereotypes that their kids are going to end up in prison, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's just not true. It's just not true.
Well, and it's as if being a mom is not hard enough.
Right.
Being mom, taking the kids to school, anything along those lines, where, you know, we're constantly feeling like we're not good enough as parents anyway. We mommy guilt and all of those things are just part of it. And so then to have that judgment of being a single mom, but then have those stereotypes piled on top of that is huge.
And all that right. judgment from others, you know, and being able to self, you know, have self-love. And mm-hmm. that's really difficult if you have everybody around you being negative against, you know, what you're doing. So I have a question for you. What role have you found that self-love or self-acceptance to play in women's relationships with each other as mothers?
Well, you know, the mission of the site is to bring in moms from all different backgrounds, all different experiences. So I'm very much about showing that we have more commonality than differences. Mm-hmm. And these differences are always dividing us, whether it's race, whether it's class, whether it's breastfeeding, whether it's, you know, all those things that divide us. So trying to promote self-care, self-love. And I know that self-love is not a competitive place, mm-hmm. right? When you love yourself, you don't need to be competing. And there's a lot of social pressure for women to be competitive. And I think mm-hmm. it comes from, you know, from TV shows, from the news, et cetera. It mm-hmm. serves groups well to pit women against each other. Mm-hmm. And so, you know,
it's basically like we just sat down and had a conversation and now we're just, we are speaking the same language. Absolutely. All of that. Yes. That's all great.
Yeah. If you think about solo moms, you know, many of them didn't make that decision themselves, mm-hmm. right? So it's kind of a very bullyish behavior to, mm-hmm. You know, be negative towards people that perhaps were abandoned, perhaps their partner died, mm-hmm. perhaps they were in an abusive situation. And yes. so like, why would you continue to speak negatively about women that are doing like day in and day out, doing the best that they can? So that's what we really try to build up, you know, women on the site and try to, we have chat rooms that I see them doing a great job building each other up and spurring each other on. And I have to say that I don't see a lot of the mommy wars on the site because we have an honor code. And, you know, when there is someone who's being negative, well, guess what? It's not cool. It's not going to be accepted. It's a vulnerable population for a number mm-hmm. of reasons. And we're not going to let there be bullies there. It's a place that's safe. So
let's talk about that a little bit about how you create and maintain that kind of we are all moms culture. And then how do you see that manifesting or translating into kind of the bigger picture, which is we're all women?
Yeah, I mean, these are really big questions, right? And I'm not going to pretend to have the perfect answer. But one thing, when I did focus groups before I launched the site, and I spoke to moms in LA and Chicago and New York, and one thing, you know, we'd go through, solo moms are very independent, and they would say, oh, I don't need help. But as soon as we talked about their children and what they felt for their kids, that was the moment that we all were vulnerable. Mm-hmm. There was always tears, because everyone wants to do the best that they can. Every mom wants to do the best for their child, right? And that's just such a commonality. So it doesn't matter if, you know, your ex-husband gives you $1 million a year, or you have to do everything yourself and work two jobs. You really just want your kids to be okay. Mm-hmm. So that's a real common strand. And then, you know, I think that one thing that we can extend out, and I think there's plenty of women that don't have children that are empathetic to, you know, the struggle of women who do have kids.
Yes.
But there is sometimes some tension there. But I do think that yeah. women in general want to preserve our species.
Yeah.
And they want to, you know, I think that, you know, we're in a time that's pretty divisive and very difficult and prone to anxiety. And I think, you know, we've seen in the last 2 years, particularly, where women have come together in ways that are spectacular, mm-hmm. fighting for, you know, the environment, fighting for rights. So we see a crossing age, crossing race, crossing that division between, you know, whether you had bore a child or not. But yeah. So
yeah, and it's just kind of a constant practice of finding those common places and talking a little bit about women that are not mothers. We've been talking about doing like a mother-daughter workshop of some kind. And then, you know, as we thought about it a little bit further, we realized that, you know, some young women may not have moms
or have the relationship
with
their mother.
And so how do we, and this is for everyone, how do we also include women that are simply role models for young women in their life? They may be an auntie, they may be a teacher, they may be a foster parent, they may not be, you know, even biologically have children of their own, but they are those role models. And so to your point of, we all want to continue the species, how do we nurture the kind of the mom in all of us for mm-hmm. kind of that idea, and then help build that empathy for women that are moms. And then also, you know, this extra layer that you're bringing, which is the lens of being a solo mom. And so how do you kind of, in the community that you have, the online community, how do you continue to bring about the constant focus and refocus of the common places? So right now you have tribes, and so, you know, and so those tribes group people in some common areas, but then how do they not differentiate between each other? Does that question make sense?
It does make sense. You're talking about different layers of, yeah. there are different tribes, right? So the one we just spoke about was like the very large tribe of women, right? And then yeah. the tribe of solo moms. And we have a chat room that's open to anyone who's a solo mom on the tribe. And I just want to say, we actually have a tribe of moms that are raising children on behalf of someone else. So we know that there's particularly in the African American community, there's many, many grandmothers who are raising their mm-hmm. grandchildren as solo moms. And then, we know that, aunts and friends will often step in and raise kids. So they're true solo moms as well. But getting back to the layers of tribes, as a sociologist, I've studied that you not only to be strong and practice self-care, you need that extended network of people supporting you and helping, but you also then, it's very helpful to have a tribe that understands what you've been through. Mm-hmm. So for example, one of our very strong tribes is moms, solo moms with children with special needs. Mm-hmm. And this is a very large group because sadly, when there's a special needs child, there's a lot of pressure on the marriage or the partnership. So there are a lot of kids being raised by solo moms who have special needs. And then, solo moms who face breast cancer. So we have divided up different tribes according to circumstances, because who gets it more than someone who's been through it? And particularly, for example, say we have a tribe for women on public assistance. If you've been through that and maybe you're not on it anymore, you can help the moms who just have to do that for a year. So I see it really as a mentoring. You mentor in your tribe, you might just be new to the tribe. We have a lot of women who, they come in with some pretty dramatic, challenges. And so we have these challenges, we have a tribe for solo moms with eating disorders. We have a mm-hmm. tribe for solo moms with physical challenges. We have writers on our site who, one who's legally blind, one who's deaf. I mean, we have 50 solo moms writing for us. So our mission extends beyond mm-hmm. just the women on the site, but those who also work on the site. And so the layers are many, but I think that the more support you have on all these different, you could join mm-hmm. four tribes, there are a lot of different challenges. And so, the more support you have, the better. And every day I hear stories that are really moving and poignant, and I see it. And we have, many, many Facebook groups based on location and mm-hmm. and those challenges. And, when you see someone come in and you can tell they're maybe just in the middle of the night and they're sharing their story, and moms will come in and pick them up and mm-hmm. say, you got this, you're going to be okay. And, so that's like completely rewarding. Of course, it feels hard because I have the pressure all the time of like hoping, I see someone write something, and I'm like, oh man, I hope someone writes something quickly. And usually they do, but I feel a lot of responsibility to the moms out there.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that's a huge piece of, the you've got this. I think that that's one of the most powerful phrases. Uh-huh. Actually, Courtney just sent that to me this morning.
I did.
But, it's the smallest thing. It's just, and we need to say that to each other a lot. That's awesome.
Right. And it gets better. That's the other one.
It does. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it gets better. Those are the two we need to hold on to. Right. We need to have some of those placards made and hang them up in our houses. Right. So what are some of the questions or conversations that you see happening among women, mostly about their friendships, about kind of what's, outside of the community, or they're probably building friendships inside of the community, but what conversations do you have among women about their friendships? And then also, what are some of the challenges that they're facing in that?
I think it's easier to talk about the challenges because when you're talking about this demographic, because they're so selflessly trying to take care of their kids and work, friendship is tough. Right. The friendship. So many times I hear about, you know, someone joins the group either on Facebook or on the site and they're like, I'm so lonely. I feel like you know, we know that when women get divorced or a relationship dissolves that they might lose friends. You know, people pick sides. So, you know, one of the things that happens is someone's, you know, solo mom's network declines or they're, you know, it's harder for them to go out at night, right? They can't necessarily go hang out. So a lot of the conversations are about how do we make this work? Like, hey, why don't we have a potluck at my house? You know, let's put together a party. And I get so thrilled when I see some of the moms coming together with ideas about how they can come together and meet new people and help each other out. So I think the challenges are what are most salient, but then you see the people really making the decision to, and you know, we have sister mail, we call everyone a sister on our site, which is kind of, you know, very tribal. We know that they're talking to each other, they're writing to each other. You can find out, you know, if the person, what age, you know, you can search moms with a 1-year-old, you can search moms with four, you know, teenage boys or whatever, you know, whatever you're struggling with, you can try to create that friendship. But loneliness is a theme that I didn't realize going into, but now having been in this now for 3 years, I see that a lot of moms, they don't realize that loneliness is going to be one of their biggest challenges. And then their kids are like, you've got to get out there and you need to take care of yourself more. And that self-care, you know, extends to their health, their mental well-being, but that friendship is really something that can make this whole journey so much easier. And so, you know, I don't have any brilliant ideas, but I do know that if you extend yourself out there and you smile more and you say hello and you accept, you know, the, you know, friend requests, et cetera, I think that you can, you know, just expand that network and then your tribe will get reinforced and you're going to be, you know, better for it.
Yeah, and you're jumpstarting that by giving them a place to connect and something to talk about and grow from. And that trend of loneliness, you know, loneliness doesn't mean that you're alone. You can be alone in a room is kind of the saying, right? It's more that place where you're understood and where you feel like people really get where you are in your life.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, one of the challenges is often moms will say, the solo moms will say, well, you know, married moms think I want their husband. I don't want their husband. They're complaining to me about their stinky,
like,
smelly
I just got
husband.
Divorced. No.
So, you know, that's one of the places that, you know, I wouldn't call it a mommy war, but I would say that that's a dividing line that doesn't need to be there. Yeah. You know, and that, so when solo moms get together, they can, and they're really strong women and they're, you know, very independent and they can, you know, sort of rip off each other and you can see them having a good time when they're chatting or meeting each other. And so, you know, I hope that that's something that we're doing for them because that loneliness is, you know, you get out of a bad relationship or you lose your partner and you think, well, you know, I'm going to go carry on the way it was before. And unfortunately there seems to be a time period that's very, very challenging. And, you know, I just want to say to anyone listening, it is temporary. It is temporary. You will work your way back. You will build that network. And there are women out there who will care deeply about you and help you.
Love it. And you may still be solo, but it'll get better.
It will get better.
It will get better.
There are advantages sometimes too.
Exactly.
So. It sounds like you created Esme as like a safe place for people, for women to be able to talk and let their emotions out and everything. What is your vetting process? Like, how do you sure that unsafe people are not in there?
That's a really excellent question because it's something that, you know, preys on me. I get really nervous about it. We, every single person who signs up, we will, we don't approve them until we check out, you know, their email. Are they a troll? Are they, and then if, you know, there's an honor code. But the thing that makes it most safe is that no one has to use their real name. No one has to put a photo up. You can put an icon, you can have a username. So, you know, I recommend in the beginning, if you're feeling at all nervous about it, you know, come on, have a username, have an icon. We can still, you can still connect with other moms. You can still email them. They can email or have sister mail to you. So we really did send that. And in fact, you can decide what questions you want to be anonymous versus the ones that you want to, like, if you just want to say, mm-hmm. hey, how's everyone doing today? Post your, you know, your photo is there and your name is there. But if you want to ask a question that's awkward or sensitive, and it might, you feel it might reverberate back, you just click anonymous for this one and an icon will come back up and you're just an Esme sister for that question. So, but yeah, we are very aware, you know, and we have a notification system. You can report someone immediately because it is a group that I really care about. I want to make sure that no, mm-hmm. you know, losers come on or evil people, or, you know, there's a lot of guys trying to come on to meet single moms. I'm sorry.
Hey, that's your next site, right?
Exactly. That's right. That's what we'll build next. But for now, you're not invited.
Sorry.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So what changes have you seen just overall? And you said that this was kind of a 15-year journey for you before you had your experiences. And so what kind of changes have you seen since starting SMA, and what still needs to change for single moms or moms in general in kind of our path to build healthier tribes and surround ourselves with that kind of reinforcement?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I know the data so well, and I'm a sociologist, so I can't try to pretend that things are getting remarkably better. I think, you know, what we're finding is that moms are really struggling financially. They're struggling they're worried about healthcare. There's a lot of strains. And so in terms of what's getting better, I think that moms are, you know, coming together like we talked about in the beginning. You know, I wish I had like this really positive response about, oh, it's naturally heading in a great direction for all of you. I think that the most honest response is that you need to take care of yourself. You can't take care of your kids until you take care of yourself. It's very hard to, you know, make friendships if you're exhausted and stressed mm-hmm. and, you know, seek out support when you need it, seek help. You know, we have lots and lots of solo moms who are doing great in terms of managing it all, and they're strong and they're powerful, but I don't want to forget the ones that are struggling. Yeah. And so I do think there's more empathy being bred recently because of the pressures around and worries about children and worries about the world. So that is the good news, is that you see, for example, you know, a lot of organizations are wanting to share information about Esme. I think that they're understanding that we have a moral obligation to the, you know, there's 23 million children being raised by solo moms. So I see that there's more of a caring feeling when I talk about this work than it was in the beginning. I feel that more people are open to it. And, you know, like you guys are having me on, that's fantastic. But it's just, you know, so I do think that people are having more empathy about it. But in terms of actual structural change and, you know, equal pay and all the mm-hmm. issues that are holding solo moms back in terms of being the best moms they can be, I think there's work to do. And I'm like proud to be part of that work. But there's a lot farther to go.
Well, you are doing an amazing walking of the walk, mm-hmm. walking the walk, not just talking the talk. So where can everybody find you? We'd want to make sure that we don't close anything out without that crucial information or do you have some announcements or anything coming up that you want people to be engaged in? You talked about geographical, you know, meeting in the same place and some of those things.
Yeah, I mean, we're at esme.com. So it's just esme.com. And, you know, we are on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Pinterest, we're on Instagram, pretty easy to find. We have 75 Facebook groups. Many of them are local Facebook groups. So if you really want to try to find moms, solo moms in your community, we're pretty easy to find. You can go to you know, the Facebook page on Esme, and they're just all listed there. Great. We're proud. We're having an app that's being developed, that's coming out.
Oh,
and yeah, it is really exciting.
He loves apps.
I love apps.
I know.
A Tribe of Women app.
Right, exactly. But in terms of, just all of this, the tribes that I've been speaking about, there are quite a few and they're new to the site. So, check us out and you can find moms who get it.
Well, that's exciting. Well, we'll let you blaze the trail in the app. And we'll follow in your footsteps.
Can I ask one question?
Yes, please.
It's been burning.
Yes. Oh, Courtney has a burning question.
So besides emotional support that your community members get, from each other, are there any other support aspects that ESME offers the members?
Absolutely. We have over 5,000 resources that you can search by location, by state and city. And those are over 5,000 nonprofits that help and support solo moms. And if you know of any other resources to send them our way, contact.us@esme.com. I'm trying to, with my team, to develop the largest data set of resources for solo moms. And so we started 2 years ago with grad students building, and we continue to make it larger and larger. So it's a one-stop shopping. You can find, stuff about food, shelter, public assistance, wellness, all of those. So yes, we do have resources and, they're easy to find. So, check them out.
That's fantastic.
That's so great. You are building an amazing tribe of women, and we're so excited that you've been here with us. And the question that we always ask all of our guests at the end is one that I bet is pretty easy for you to answer, which is, why do you believe in tribes of women?
Without tribes of women, we would be nowhere. I believe in tribes deeply because you need to have that understanding of what someone's going through, and that tribe is there to cheer you on, raise you up, be there in those darkest moments that we all have. And so obviously I wouldn't have built a whole site around women coming together, building bridges. And I think that, the more we build bridges between different groups of women, the stronger we're going to be. So yes, I believe in all those levels and layers of tribes. And I love that you guys focus on that.
Thank you. Well, we love that you focus on that. And we're so excited that we found each other. And hopefully we'll be doing more together soon.
That would be great.
Thank you so much, Marika. It was wonderful
to be
here with you, and we're excited to share ESME with the world.
Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Do you believe in tribes of women? Join the movement in our newsletter at tribeofwomen.com and be the first to learn about upcoming podcast guests, product releases, events, and giveaways. Find, subscribe, and rate the Tribe Talk podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and other major platforms, and share it with your tribe. Then follow us for inspiration, information, events, and more on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram using @TribeOfWomen.
This is Tribe of Women.
Lorraine Mosier, Courtney Lawless,
Laurie Marshall,
and Amy Robinson. Thanks for listening.